All right, this is How to Build a Better Business. And so today we're talking about story. February is all about story. It's my favorite. It's my favorite topic in the whole Build a Better Business. Of everything that we go through, you know, the VPS and our first base offer and second and third and home run and then how we finally start to market with blogging and podcasting and speaking and all of that social media. My favorite is still the story. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to share my screen so we can get started here. Bear with me. And this is what I want to talk about. I got to move our pictures over to the other side here. All right. I want to talk about the five tips for including storytelling in your sales strategy. And if you remember, you know, in the past, I've always talked about, you know, your story. The easy way to craft your story is once upon a time, but then your aha moment, you discovered whatever, and now. And I'm gonna put Ruth on the spot a little bit. Ruth, is it possible for you to find your story that you sent over to me that maybe after I go through these five tips that we can share? I'll just toss that out there. Because Ruth did a wonderful job with the prompts, and Sally has a quite a great story. And Debbie, when we did your interview on Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks, your story was wonderful. So I am just so excited that these stories are coming together. I love it. So anyway, to have a great story, you don't have to be a great writer, but start with the basics. What are the components of a good story? It involves a main character, a challenge that the character faces, and that the character is getting past that roadblock, usually with whatever you're trying to sell. In addition to the narrative, most of the best stories have a clear introduction, a middle, and a conclusion. And again, it's like once upon a time, but then and now. It's important that the journey you are walking your prospects through is clear and easy to follow. So determine what ideas you want to communicate. What is the key takeaway that you want the listener to get after you finish your story? Knowing your end game is going to make it much easier to build out the framework for the story that you're trying to tell and fill in or edit the gaps in the storyline. You need to get their attention. Stories are meant to be captivating as well as informative. So put yourself in the listener's shoes and ask yourself if this is a story you'd want to hear. Use phrases that everyone is familiar with and keep the language short and punchy. When you're telling a story, you need to remove any complications or barriers that will prevent them from understanding the overall objective, which of course is to sell your product or your service. And then practice makes perfect. It might seem silly to do it first, but you should be reading your story out loud to make sure that it feels authentic to your listener's ear. I had to let Ruth back in. Entrepreneur also stated that reading your message can help you avoid simply reworking your sales materials or worse, turning the story into a one-size-fits-all package. After all, as a salesperson, you know firsthand the way you convey a message on paper or in an email is vastly different from how you would do it in person or over the phone. And then five, make it personal. This is probably the most important part of your storytelling. And it takes a little work, but ultimately pays off big in the end when you're closing deals. Use your own experiences with past clients to infuse some of the messages that you want to convey. For instance, if you're in healthcare sales, talk about how the product made a meaningful impact on a patient. Reaching out to a prospect with a human connection is only going to make your story more powerful. So, great storytelling in sales isn't as complicated as it sounds. It's all about being authentic and communicating how your product can help people in real-world scenarios. Utilizing these tools can make all the difference in making your communications relevant and impactful. So, this is your story template. Excuse me, I'll see if it'll let me open it here. If not, I can go right to my story in my actual website and show you because I left the prompts on mine. All right. We're trying to open. It says it's processing. Let's see if it'll open. And it didn't. So I think we're just going to go see if it's here. Build your story. Here we go. All right. Can everyone see my screen still? Yes. Okay. This is right in the course, which all of you have the Build a Better Business Mastermind. And when you go to the mastermind, you go clear to the bottom of the mastermind, which you're all a member of. The course is free. It's included in your mastermind. When you go into the course, this template is in there. This template is there. So here is what it looks like. You start with who and what were you at the start of the story? I was. And then what was your situation at the time? My situation was. And you just put it into some bullet points. And then change. What happened that started to change everything? And then right on through the prompts. What problem or conflict arose almost immediately? And how did you, you know what the problem was? So anyhow, you get the point. I don't need to read the whole template, but you get the point. This is the template. And it goes on for just a couple of pages. So what I want to do is I want to actually show you that template in action. And again, my screen's coming up. And I am going to go to my little hamburger up here. I have to move our faces again over to the other side. And my work with me. So if you want to see it in action, it's on my website, kathybenner.com, under work with me. And when you scroll down, here is that actual template. And I left the prompts in here. So let me tell you a quick story. That's the prompt. And then I just made the bullet points. I was a single mom working two jobs, both minimum wage with no health insurance. And I was living payday to payday with no extra cash for emergencies. I had a car that I couldn't keep running. And even worse, I had no means to save toward retirement. There I set the stage. In that very first one, this is the once upon a time section. So once upon a time, I was a single mom working two jobs, both minimum wage. You get the idea. Then something happened that changed my life forever. This would be, if you will, an aha moment. What was an aha moment for you that you said, I need to change this stage, this very first section here. I need to change that. So something happened. Well, what happened? Well, for me, my mom sat me down and had a talk with me about getting on with it, meaning to make more money. And then I met a nail tech that was making more income in 1 week than I made in a month from my corporate job. So I decided to attend nail school, is what we called it at the time, and become a part-time nail tech. I went to cosmetology school. So that's what happened. That was my aha moment. My aha moment was I needed to make more money and I met somebody that was making more money. So, aha, maybe I could do that. So at the time, I had no idea the impact this would have. The problem was, okay, what was the problem with doing that? Why didn't I just go do that? Well, I was working a full time in my corporate job and then part time as a nail tech. And I had no time for my daughter because I was always racing from one job to the other. So even though I wanted to change my very first stage of being a single mom, two jobs, blah, blah, blah. And then my aha moment was that I could then add this nail tech on. It did create an additional problem of time. And so what you're doing is this is called the hero's journey. And if you've ever seen it, it's a circle and it starts at the top where you're kind of, you know, you're in the muck, but then this happens. And it's just like all the Hallmark movies that we watch, you know, they start off girl meets boy, but then something tragic happens that they are at odds with each other and they go around that hero's journey and they finally, you know, understand each other and make amends. And then eventually they live happily ever after, or so Hallmark would have you believe. And so when you're writing your hero's journey, you know, if you're just like, well, here's where I was, but then, you know, the sunshine came out and now, you know, I've, you know, been successful ever since. A lot of your listeners, your audience, your tribe that you're trying to attract will say, oh, well, good for you, you know, because they're struggling. So they want to see your struggle in that hero's journey, in your story. And so I was struggling. My mom had a talk with me. I met this nail tech. I decided that was going to be my solution. But the problem was, I now had another problem, is that now I had no time because I was always racing around from one job to another. And just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, what happened? Well, the nail salon I signed on with decided to close. My corporate position was changing into a mandatory bachelor degree, and I had no time to go back to school for my bachelor degree. So now you see where I was on a downward slide. And this is what your audience wants to know. They want to know, when things go from bad to worse, how is your products or services going to help me? So I was on the downward slide because the owners of the nail salon decided it was too much work for them to continue operating a salon with kids of their own at home. And the owners in the corporate company was hoping to sell and retire. The new big corporate buyer wanted everyone to have a bachelor degree. And I didn't have time to go, or the money, or especially the time with working a couple of jobs. So needless to say, how did I feel? This, again, this is how you can connect with your audience. I felt panicked. So how many of my audience, my readers, my tribe, how many may have felt panicked? So how could I support myself and my daughter without these two jobs? I started researching local colleges, thinking, okay, I got to get this bachelor degree as soon as possible. Now, I didn't know how I was going to pull that off before that whole sale went through, and to keep my corporate job. And I started visiting nail salons to try to find a new salon. And so that's when I truly hit rock bottom. See, I want to connect with my audience. I showed up to work at the nail salon, and it was locked with a big for sale sign in the window. Well, that was my extra income. So, now what? Well, the next day I showed up for my corporate job, and my boss told me I needed to work more hours. My mandatory 50 plus hours a week was what not enough for the new owners. And so now I had to work more hours. I'm still trying to work two jobs. I've lost the nail job because the salon closed. So this meant what? I panicked and I started looking for yet a third job. Now, my mom was exhausted from taking care of my dad, who had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So my mom was also watching my ADHD daughter, and I was trying to figure out what to do. Now, do you see the picture I've painted there in my story? So many folks are going to connect at so many different levels throughout my storytelling. They're going to connect with the fact that it wasn't, I just woke up one day and was this wonderful success. And so when they're struggling, they're going to feel like they want to connect with me because they feel like I've been down in the weeds and I figured it out, and now I can help them figure it out. So that's when I decided that I needed to go full time as a nail tech, since the income was better than my corporate job. And you see, it was how life positioned all of those things that made me have the opportunity to make that decision. I mean, I probably wouldn't have left my corporate job and gone full time into the salon industry. And for those of you that know me, know that I then spent 25 years in the salon business. But at that time, I would not have made that decision if my corporate job would have been mediocre and continued on as normal. I would have hung right in there because it's where my health insurance was, it's where my retirement plan was, it's where my security was, and I wouldn't have made that leap. So, but because of the way things played out, that's when I decided that I needed to go full time as a nail tech, since the income was better. And with my nail tech income, I decided to buy my first home all by myself, a condo. And I actually bought a condo in the same complex where Sally is. So with my nail tech income, I was able to afford health insurance for myself and my daughter. So then something happened that changed everything. I found a new salon where the owners had nail techs, hairstylists, tanning beds. I realized as owners, they were collecting rent from me and all the other independent contractors. It occurred to me that I could buy my own building, rent it out to my own nail techs and hairstylists. I could add tanning, and in 20 years, my staff could buy me a building, and it would give me some immediate income and retirement income. So you see where this was the big aha moment. So when you're creating your story, if I back up here was an aha moment when my mom sat me down and had a talk with me about getting on with it. It was an like aha, I need to do something. But when things started to really go bad and I made some big decisions, that's when it was the big aha moment when I said, wait a minute, I can actually do this. I can actually buy a building and create income, passive income. And that was the spark I needed. I was scared but optimistic to get a commercial loan for my very own salon building. I knew I was on the right path. Here's what happened next. I learned everything I could about the salon industry. I made two additional mortgage payments each year to pay off the building earlier than the 20-year note. Then one day I looked up and I realized I could now buy four more salon buildings. I could sign on even more stylists and nail techs to pay rent to me. I also started buying single family rentals to help grow my passive income and retirement income. I was forever changed by the fact that I now had passive income, freedom to live the lifestyle I always wanted. I could work less hours. I could even homeschool my daughter her last 4 years of high school. And I started on a new healthy lifestyle. Here's where I now make the transition in that hero's journey. See, I now saw myself in control, confident, a good provider for the first time. I saw myself as a business owner. I received the Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year Award. Then I received the Chamber of Commerce Entrepreneur of the Year Award. That's when I knew I couldn't stop there. I realized that I needed to teach you how to do what I've done. I needed to make getting healthy and creating passive income even easier for you. So now I am focusing on, and you see we're making full circle now. Now I am focusing on creating a step-by-step process for others to discover what is in their next best step in getting healthy and creating passive income. I'm focusing on creating this user-friendly website, and I'm creating an online international academy. I'm able to, and here's at the very end, I'm able to help individuals and entrepreneurs. Here's the sales pitch. Just like you, go from panic to passive income, plus have some fun getting healthy. This makes me feel like there's so much more for me to do. I'm just getting started. And what I'd like you to take away from all this is no matter how tough things are, keep going, never stop learning, and simply start to find your next best step to getting healthy, growing your passive income, and finally, freestyle living today. You see how I just kind of tied it all in there with my taglines. So this is the formula. This is the template. It's right inside my website. I left everything here that you see in little parentheses. That is the template. So let me tell you a quick story. Then something happened that changed my life forever. At the time, I had no idea the impact this would have. The problem was, and you just fill in under each of those little tags on the template. Okay. Now I want to stop sharing for a moment because we have Ruth with us. And Ruth, you took this template and you created your story. And I saw where we lost you for a minute and then you came back on. Do you, so I don't know if you heard me when I asked if I could get you to share your story. Do you have yours handy where you could share it? Oh, you're on mute.
The reason you lost me is because I was on my iPad and I figured if I was going to share my screen, I had to get on my computer.
I get it.
So, and I'm not super comfortable sharing screen. So it's been a while. So since firing, so I may have to.
That's okay. We're all in here to learn together. So I've already clicked on that you could share.
Okay.
And you have our undivided patience.
Share.
Now, Ruth has taken this template and she has created her story, but she did actually modify it a little bit.
Okay. I thought I had it up, but I don't. So let me see where I just had it. I don't know where it went.
Go ahead. You can go ahead and move around a little bit. We'll just sit tight for a second.
Talk about something else.
It's a learning curve for all of us.
Here it is.
Now you see where she had her template up there.
Yeah, I thought I had this one pulled up, but I didn't.
Now, I want you to see this because this is somebody else's version of using the same template. That's why it's so important that you see how to use this. It's so user-friendly once you get the gist of it. So go ahead, Ruth.
Yeah, and I will say this too. It is a very good template and I would encourage everybody to play with it. Now, I did change mine a little bit, and then later I went back and did it in a different part of my story in the financial version. And that was very enlightening just to clarify it for me. So it's a good practice to do it in different areas of your life. And I honestly think I did this last summer, I believe, or maybe early fall. And if I look at it right now, I probably would change it again. But this is the first one that I did. Now, I had so much under, let me tell you a quick story, where it talks about where I was stuck, that I divided it up and I put some different things in there because it just was getting too long. And I kept the bullet points where Kathy didn't, and I don't know which, neither one is right or wrong on that. But I was talking about how I felt like I was a scared girl in a woman's body and what that meant. And I'm not going to read it all to you guys because you can read it yourself. You know, the good parts about me, you know, I was dependable, you know, I was a people pleaser. I didn't know who I was. I craved connection, but didn't always know how to reach out for it. And I give some examples of that. And then I go to the real me was hidden from everyone, even me, and talked about the mask that I wore and the mask that a lot of us wear, that I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And yet we're hurting on the inside. And that the only time that real passion came out of me was when the pain was so big and suppressed inside me that it would come out like a lava from a volcano, literally. And, you know, that's not how I wanted to be remembered. It really wasn't. I think. And then I talk about, I felt like I was doing what I needed to be and being passive and letting other people have what they wanted because then they would like me. But nobody can be passive. You will turn passive aggressive. And then I talk about some of, you know, I had good relationships and I had some career success too.
Well, you see where she used the actual template that said, then something happened that changed my life forever. That's mm-hmm. right in the actual template.
Right, right. I used the original ones if they made sense to me.
Yes.
In fact, I when I did it first, I just kept those. And then after I had that draft written, then I went back and I changed the ones that didn't make sense. And I do think that keeping those lines in there breaks it up, because I honestly don't think anybody would want to read these long of things. Mine's turned out really long. I might shorten it even. You just don't want to read that much. And I don't know that we want to go through all of this. So we can pick and choose, Kathy.
Well, I wanted everyone to see somebody else using the template besides my story. I wanted them right. to see someone else's story inside the template. And so you can see where she even changed a little bit of the template wording to make it fit her story better. But, and that's what a template is. It's just a way to get started. It's a way to get that whole hero's journey from where you started to what your aha moment was, to what you realized either about yourself or about your business. And then how you started to go down the path or around the circle, if you will, on solving that, but then how you hit a bigger roadblock and then what the bigger problem was, and then how you solved that. And now finally, at the end of the circle, once it goes full circle, is you're finally back to now how you can help other folks do the same thing and get the same solutions that you had. You basically, you've climbed the mountain and now you want to show them an easier way to do it. And see, she talks about now I am, and then I'm able to, this makes me feel. This is right off of the template. So it's just a guideline to help you get through that whole hero's journey and get that down on paper. Okay. Perfect. Ruth, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anyone else have their story? I know Sally had her story written very well in her blog post, actually. Sally's not feeling so well, so I won't put her on the spot. But if she wants to jump in and talk about it, she can. Sally says, great job, Ruth. And Sherry, do you have your story pretty well written out. Do you share your story in your business to connect with your tribe and your listeners, your customers?
I've been working on it. And part of the reason it's not done yet is because I'm still trying to make sure that I am telling the story and the outcome. So I feel like I am in that, I'm not at the low point anymore. I'm coming out of the circle, but I don't feel like I've reached the point that I can be totally the guide. And so I haven't done the whole complete story yet because I'm still not sure I've reached the point of being the ultimate guide. I'm still still in the process of working it out. And I think part of the thing that has stopped me is really identifying what my framework is so that I can really articulate that well. But I have.
Are you talking the framework of your story or the framework of your services, your products and services?
My framework are my services, because I think that that is some of, I'm trying to mesh the personal and the business branding together. And I've been really working on that over the last year. And I think I'm getting much closer every day, but I haven't done that complete story. And it's in my book that I'm publishing. So the reason it's not out there is still in the writing process.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you have a template for your hero's journey to get all the way around? Like, here's where mm-hmm. I was, but then, and now, and
yeah, I have the hero. I have the hero's journey.
Okay. Okay. Ruth, go ahead.
I just want to say something with Sherry, and that is Sherry on the clubhouse this morning with Kathy. I did not realize that you have some disabilities of your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just wondered if that shouldn't be clear in your story, if that would build more rapport.
I do share.
Do you?
That okay. I do that. I should, if anybody who reads my book, I start out the book talking a little bit about that. I don't share all of them. I don't share the autoimmune disease in my book because it just didn't fit.
Right.
But that was part of the reason I had to make the change, is because I needed to slow down a little bit, and because of the autoimmune disease, and I was looking for a way to step back and not necessarily leave the house at 7 o'clock every morning.
Mm-hmm. So I get it. I get it.
And no, I have a feeling that the dysgraphia is only part of my lanes, as Kathy talks about them. I have another lane that I've been really working on with being certified in Carrie's programs. So that's part of where I'm pausing on not sharing the whole story yet, because I want to have it really solid in my mind. And one of the things I'm working on right now is, what does reward mean? And looking at it from the neuroscience standpoint and stuff, because that is one of my five pieces of the framework. And so what does that mean in my hero's journey? What is that reward that I'm looking for myself? So,
right. So you're feeling you have to have more clarity before you can actually mm-hmm. turn it around to help others get that clarity. I get that. You'll notice in my story, as I went through my story, you know, I started off, you know, being the single mom with the minimum wage job. And then I talked about how, you know, I had the corporate job, and then how I discovered, you know, the whole salon industry, but then also how I discovered the entire real estate industry. And so for me, see, my journey, I explained this early on, is that you can take your hero's journey once you have your story, and it's like an accordion. If you have mm-hmm. to talk for an hour, you can talk on that story for an hour. I can tell you, you know, exactly where I was sitting and what my mother said and what I said. And I can, you know, I can actually tell that story. I can tell the first time that I met the nail tech and found out how much money she was making. I can tell that whole story for 20 minutes just on meeting the nail tech. And so you can make the story like an accordion. So if you have an hour that you have to fill, you can fill an hour with your story. If you only have 20 minutes, let's say that you're asked to speak for 20 minutes at a networking meetup. Well, now all of a sudden I have to just stop and think, who is my audience? If my audience is all cosmetology folks, then I can concentrate on the cosmetology portion of my story. If my audience is all real estate folks, I can skate over the beginnings and the salon industry and get right to the when I started investing. And I can really, tell the story about my first investment and then I can take any piece of my story and I can turn it into a miniature hero's journey. The first time I bought my first piece of real estate. And then I thought I had arrived, but then I really got into the soup because this went wrong and that went wrong. And when I felt like I wasn't going to be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps, I had another aha moment. And now finally I'm completing that hero's journey and I want to help you be successful in your real estate investing as well. So I can take any piece of my story and make it a miniature version of that hero's journey on how I struggled in that, just that one piece, mm-hmm. or I can use the whole story. Now, the reason I say this is the cornerstone of your business is because it's your story. It's no one else's story. You don't have to rehearse it. You don't have to write it down. You don't have to practice it. Now, again, you can practice your points to become a better speaker if you're going to be speaking, but you don't have to because it's your story. And so that's the reason why it's the cornerstone of your business, because no matter what you're trying to sell or what offering you have, if you connect it like a crochet hook, go back and hook a piece of your story over into your sales, and your storytelling is your marketing. Your storytelling becomes your marketing. So no matter what it is that you want your readership or your tribe or your audience to get out of your talk or your presentation or your sales pitch, if you're going to turn it into your sales pitch, you want to hook a piece of your story in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Any other comments? Questions? Debbie, how about you? You did a beautiful job telling your story when I interviewed you on Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks, and you were very comfortable. You weren't uncomfortable. You weren't kind of grasping for, because it was your story and it just came out of you. And it was very powerful. It was so powerful. Mark and I were going out to dinner later that night, and I actually played the video for him.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
We'll talk about that, Debbie.
You know, what helped me was looking at Build Your Story framework. And I was able to, in my words, follow it. But I'm really getting a lot out of the hero's journey that you're talking about today. And I made a couple notes about, I now saw myself, or so I am able to. And thinking back, Ruth mentioned about redoing it. I don't know how I can't really redo it, but maybe I could make it a little shorter, because there was a lot that I didn't even bring up in the interview. And so I think what I need to do is go back, shorten it so that I can put those in there, because I think what I left out would be, I now saw myself. And so I'm able to, I didn't really leave it out, but I'd like to make it a little more clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want to show your audience that transition a little more definite of a transition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's what I, in thinking about it and listening today, it's like, yeah, I need to do that. And I just think it might help create a more conclusive story than one that's just kind of dragged, not that it's dragged out because it's a lot, but I need to condense it down a little bit. And I think it's like 10 pages long and it can't be that long. So that's what I'm going to do. That's kind of where I'm going with this. And I think what also I need to do is take my story to the point of the book that I'm writing. Okay. I think I need to transition into that point. And in January, I don't know what really occurred from watching a movie or whatever, but I was getting a clearer vision, and I came up and I figured out, is remember I always, my story, Daydream, always stopped right at the doorway when I opened it. Okay, but now I see myself walking down the aisle, hundreds of women filling this auditorium, and they're completing, or they're clapping, and I actually see myself walking up on the stage doing my presentation with screens behind me so that I can show pictures to help with the storyline. And mm-hmm. It's like, I think I might have shared this, I forgot.
Sherry's nodding over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Debbie, where is this symposium that we get to come and watch you?
Date to be whatever you call you ever you say yeah. that. A date to follow.
Yeah. Well, keep that vision. Keep that vision, because you'll get there if you continue to keep that vision. Yes. Ruth, yes. You had a comment or a question? You're on mute.
He gave me the message. That's so you can't hear me when it's not my turn. two suggestions, Debbie. Don't take either one if you don't want to, but a couple things. And one of them is this vision that you have, you include it in your story at the end, and you put it in past tense or present tense, say present tense, and say something like, now I speak before hundreds of women, and I explain to them, da, 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 da. But put mm-hmm. that at the end of your story. And that will be a vision for you, not only that you had it, but it will solidify that as you go forward. Oh, good. That's point number one.
Oh, geez, that was good.
Okay. Yeah, and once you get that written, then you share it with us.
Okay. I can do that.
I mean, I did listen to your interview that you had with Kathy, and you have done a ton of things. And so, yes, I agree with you that your basic story needs to be condensed down and just tell the highlights. You know, yeah. Pick about 7 or 8 highlights that really are going to play into what you want, but then do this same template for different parts of your story. Oh. So that you have one main story, and then you have several little sub stories that go into more detail about the parts of your life that you really want to bring out. And Kathy's thing that she keeps telling us, that, you know, we use this as our marketing. If you have those sub stories written out, then they're going to come to your mind when you need them for certain audiences.
Mm-hmm. So I take the original template, and what I shared on my About Me page or Work With Me page on my website is the overview. It's got where I was, where I started, the salon, all about getting into cosmetology and the real estate, and it's got the whole story. But I can take that same template and just use it for cosmetology. I can take that same template and just use it for real estate. So no matter what group I'm in front of, see, I have my go-to story.
That's a good point, because that I realized that I can share how to an audience how I opened up my quilting business. Mm-hmm. Also, how I became a crafter, how I became a sewer. And wow, I never thought about it. There's a lot of different avenues.
Look at your homesteading. Look at the Melaleuca. You can have a whole story just around why you got involved in Melaleuca. You can have a whole story around how you got started in homesteading.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. So see, you've got lots of material. That's lots of content. That's the cornerstone of your business, because you always want, again, when you're putting together, a social media post, or you're putting together a blog post, you want to go out and hook a piece of your story and pull it into what you're writing or what you're talking about or what you're teaching about. You always want to hook a piece of your story in there. And so, now, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're on a good thought there. I'll remember.
Well, I was going to say, Sally mentioned that she did her story in two parts. Yeah. And then Ruth said, is it part of it, your business, the other personal? Sally, I'll let you speak to that. Or do you feel up to it?
Yeah. What was your question, Ruth?
Well, was your two parts of your story, one business and one personal?
No, they were both personal. And business, personal and business related. So it's just so.
Like, but because of Debbie, your blog, you put it in two different blogs.
Yeah, okay. It was becoming big, too long. So I just broke it down like that.
But you know what? She wrote it so well that I couldn't wait for the second part.
Yeah. Anticipation.
Yeah. And then I wrote another one, the Once Upon a Time. That was your inspiration, Debbie. So
thank you.
Yeah.
So Kathy, my other question was this. I'm sure you all saw my videos.
Yes.
Well, I did one on Facebook and then I did one on LinkedIn. And like I admitted, this is my first time. And then the one on LinkedIn, I thanked everybody for their kind words. But for the first time, I feel like I did a good job, even though there really wasn't a point to it per se, other than, as my friends at church said, really gave me a good view of where you live, way out in the country. So I was just wondering if you guys had any comments.
Well, again, my only comment is to have a point, even if it's to give a good view of where you live. Have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so you can say, I'm coming to you today to show you the weather in where I live. That could
That's
be the
what
point.
I did.
But have an actual point. And I think what'll happen then is you're like with Sally telling her story, it makes them anticipate your next video.
Yeah. And did you notice I ended each one, and I think that it's my VPS, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Cool. Thank you, Ruth, so much for helping me with that, because I think I tweaked one or two words, but it was so, I wrote it on a postcard, an index card. And so it seems to flow easy enough that I can remember it without having to there.
You want your VPS, which we talked about in January, you want your VPS to be something that just kind of flows. You want to be able, if somebody just corners you, Mark and I are always out and about. And if somebody is like, Kathy, what is it that you do anyway? Well, I'm a passive income coach and I show folks how to create income without punching a time clock. You just want something very basic that just tells basically in a nutshell what you do. Then see, it's meant to attract attention. It's meant to get questions. It's meant then for the person that you're talking to say, well, how do you do that? You want to hook them and make them interested. And that's where you go to your story. That's yeah. when you go to your story. Now, you don't have to give them the whole story, but that's right. when, you know, again, remember, your story is like an accordion. That's where I can yeah. say, I once was a single mom working two minimum wage jobs, and now I've got 30 rental doors, you know?
Yeah.
I can help you do that. You see, all I did is I went from the beginning to the end, and now I can help you do that. And so now if they say, oh, well, here's what I'm doing, here's where I'm at, how can I do that? See, now I can start having that relationship and that conversation with that person. And once I find, and maybe at that point, it's time to ask them some questions like, well, what is it that you do now? Or what is it that you're passionate about? Or what is it that you like to do when you're not working? Because see, I'm all about freestyle living. And if they say, oh, I love to go skiing when I'm not working, that's my passion. Well, then maybe we need to talk about how they can monetize skiing if that's their passion.
True.
You see where I'm going with that? So again, yeah. it's to make that relationship happen to where you can start having the conversation.
Well, and the one on Facebook, I used my face, the one on LinkedIn, I didn't, but the one today, I'll situate it so that people can see me.
Okay.
And I kind of watched this one girl that's on LinkedIn that does the State Farm from Texas.
Yeah.
Commercials, whatever. And I thought, well, you know what? I can just take my VPS and put that at the end of mine instead of just saying goodbye, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, if it wasn't for the day that we talked about this, I still wouldn't have that available. So to me, I feel like step by step, baby steps mm-hmm. are now being filled in, and I'm finding it will get easier
yes.
to do that. But I got to figure out how to do a video, a live on LinkedIn so that it just will automatically flow into Facebook. And it doesn't do that, does it?
No, but I think if you do, I don't know if LinkedIn records it. I know Facebook gives you a recording of your live. And then I think you can repost that link over onto LinkedIn.
Okay. Try it that way. What?
How do you get that link? Where is it kept in Facebook?
On Facebook, once you record live, it'll be in your video section of your Facebook page.
On your it'll profile? Your
videos, yes.
Okay.
And I think you can do that. Now, if you're not sure, Debbie, and you want to go across all the platforms, you could just do a video on Zoom. I have the video app on my phone. And right. when we do boots on the ground for the Happy House Hunters group, I go straight to Zoom on my phone. I don't do it in my camera videos, like I would record the kids at Christmas time or something, you know, opening their presents. And Sherry says StreamYard too, but I go straight to Zoom. I download the app right on my phone and I go straight to Zoom right on my phone and it records it right in Zoom. And then it gives me not only the link, but it gives me the video version. It gives me the audio version if I want to put it on a podcast. And it gives me all of that link that I can then just post across everything.
That's right. Well, I noticed that I can do, when I do one on Facebook, it asks me if I wanted to go to Twitter. And
those are connected.
I say yes, but I haven't looked at Twitter to see if it went there. And on LinkedIn, you can do LinkedIn Live. So, yes. and that was pretty easy. Just hit the button and go for it. And of course, I did the LinkedIn Live on my phone app so that it was right there. I didn't have to worry about transferring or anything.
So since we're talking about story, what I'd like to maybe see, Debbie, is when you go live on any of these videos, is to just, in a sentence, bring your story into the video. And I don't know, even with where you live, you haven't lived there all your life, you know, and you could even say, you know, I remember when, you know, we didn't have a farm, but now here's my farm. And I'm homesteading, and I'm showing other folks how to homestead. See, so you can actually weave your story into your videos in all different levels, depending. It doesn't matter what you want to talk about, anything you want to talk about. And when you're doing these videos, you're vlogging, which is just the video version of blogging. And blogging is where you're writing your story that has a conclusion, and your video is where you're vlogging your story where it has a conclusion. And so you don't have to use the words once upon a time, but you certainly could, but you don't have to. But you want to think about, once upon a time I didn't have a farm, but now I have a farm, and now I want to show folks how to homestead. And so you can actually do that right in your vlog. Is, you know, you can say, hey, I remember when I didn't have this farm, and now I do, and look at the snow we have, and look how beautiful it is, and I'm homesteading. Oh, yeah. And I'm, you know, and I've got stuff canned and frozen, and I don't have to worry about the snow and getting out and going to the store, because I have a supply because of my homesteading, and I can show you guys how to homestead too. So contact me below, and I'll send you a link to my blog post. See, so you can actually use that as your advertising and your marketing. Remember, your storytelling is your marketing.
Yeah.
Does that help someone else think about how they can use their story to market?
That's pretty good.
We haven't heard from Estella. Estella, are you just taking it all in? What about your story?
This has been very enlightening to see it again and to see the stories by the other ladies. I haven't seen Debbie's, but I was very intrigued by was it Ruth that did hers?
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm going to go back and look at that and put something together. I've been putting little snippets together, and there's so much to say, but I need to get it down to the audience that I want to target, which is primarily small businesses and business owners with employees. And so I have a story to tell, and basically that is to bring peace and order in the workplace by giving the owners the resources that they need to have so that they can function well as their employees, to give them resources that will not only help them with legal situations and identity theft issues, but also we have the severe discount program, employee discount program, as well as credit counseling, which a lot of employees are facing. But I just need to find a way to package it so that, number one, it's not only the resource that will, you know, definitely help their employees, but package it in a way so that when they're doing it, they are a response. It's kind of like it gives them the opportunity to treat their employees more than just a widget, but to provide them for their well-being in a different manner. So I've been thinking about it. I've got notes here and notes there, and I got to find them all. But anyway,
Go back to that template. You can find it in my website. You can find it in the course under Build a Better Business,
right,
under the story section of the course. But find that template and use the template so that you can weave your story into how you are now helping folks.
Right. And how I got to be where I'm at, because there is a story behind that, you know, why I'm so passionate about helping employees which would be from my union background, as well as.
And that's what's going to connect. That's what's going to connect with them in their minds. And they're going to know, like, and trust you more once they hear your story.
Yes.
You're not just going to be a person selling something.
No, I'll have an edge because of my HR background and the things that I've done, the different industries that I've served, and and the positions that I've held.
I love it. So this is the first meetup of the month talking about story. And Ruth has hers already written out. She said she wanted to tweak it a little bit. But I would like on our next meetup to see everyone's story in that template.
Okay.
And this is the big one, the overall story.
Mm-hmm.
This is your overall story. Your go-to story. Now I can take the cosmetology piece. I can take the real estate piece. If I'm talking to a homeless shelter of women, I can go back and talk about being the single mom working two minimum wage jobs and a car that wouldn't run. And, you know, I mean, that I could sit there on that piece of my story for a long time. I could talk about that if I had a whole presentation to do. See, so it depends on the group you're talking to. It depends on your audience.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see is your overall story on how you got from once upon a time, but then you had this aha moment, how you struggled through that, and now how you've turned that into something helping other folks. That's the overall story I'd like to see next time we meet up, because that piece right there is the cornerstone of your business. And you're going to pull from different sections of that throughout building your products. And that's why we have to get our story before we start building our products, before we start talking about what our first offer, our free offer, our first or second or third and our home run offer. We have to have our story in place first, because we're always going to come back and hook a piece of our story as we build our offerings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it'll give us more confidence and assurance in what it is that we're doing. I can see that for me, because then I'll have more. I know why I'm doing it, but I haven't written it down. I need to make it visible.
Well, and again, I agree with you, Estella, because what happens is then when we go out with confidence with our service products and services, we know our why.
Mm-hmm.
Because our why is in our story.
Right.
And then you will feel more confident. You will appear more confident. And the people that you're talking to will see and feel that confidence and passion coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that all comes from knowing your why, deep down your why and why you're doing this. So that's why your story is so important. This is my favorite month, is talking about story.
Okay. All right.
Any other comments? I know Sally's a little under the weather, so I'm not putting her on the spot, but jump in, Sally, if you have something to say. And Sherry, any comments from you? Mm-hmm. No? Anything in your mind thinking you need to go back and revisit for anyone?
I have one quick question. Those of you guys that do video like on Zoom and then post it on the different social medias, are you finding that you're not getting as much exposure because it's not organic to that social media?
Again, I have a little bit of a different twist on that. What I found is I try to post two personal posts and then a business post. And then I try to do two personal and a business. When I do the personal, I get tons of connections because people know I'm not selling anything. It's just a personal post. But what that does is it gets my algorithm back up. And then, then I'll do a business one. And people tell me everywhere I go, oh, we saw that you were doing this. We saw you were doing that on the business end. You know, we saw you, you bought another piece of real estate. We saw that you're doing. So they're seeing the post because okay. I weave those personal ones in there.
Ruth, within the first, I think it was 4 hours or 5 hours, I had 111 views.
Wow.
So I was like, yes.
That's that great. Feel good.
Yeah. Which one was that, Debbie? Was that your reel?
Was it Facebook or LinkedIn?
Facebook.
And that was the live thing you did, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
About being out in the country and the snow and how bad the weather was.
Yes, that was when it was freezing rain or sleet or whatever you want to call it.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. I don't see a whole lot, but I did see that. I was like, look at Debbie.
Yes. Now, Debbie, it would have been so easy for you to just weave in there, you know, your story, you know, like, hey, and I started homesteading. And so I don't have to worry about the weather because I've got supplies because I do my freezing and canning and I've even got a homesteading blog. You know, so you can you can market yourself that way, which is the whole point of your story.
Well, going forward, I will do that.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. Just make it conversational. You know, it can be. Yeah. I love it. Any other comments? Sally, any comments to finish out?
Nope.
Well, we are sending good vibes to Sally. Get well soon. It really is not good to feel under the weather in this kind of weather. So get better real soon. We miss your lovely face today, but
thank you. I'm working on it's taking good care of me. So.
Good. Very good. And Debbie, Ruth, Estella, Sherry, thank you so much for being on today. This has been fun. I can't wait to see everybody's stories next time we come on. Yes, Debbie, go ahead.
How long are you in Florida?
Just through the 17th. We're just down for 10 days. I've got a lot of projects going on back home. I've got a good team, so I can kind of relax. I've got this good team going on, but I still have a lot going on back home to go back home to check on. So,
okay. Well, have fun down there and be safe.
All right. Okay, guys. See everybody soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.